Homeowners love the fact that property values have gone through the roof this past year, but there's a downside. Hi, I'm Rob West. If you haven't gotten your latest property assessment, you could be in for a shock. Your property tax assessment will probably rise right along with your home's value. But is it accurate? I'll tell you how to challenge yours today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Real estate analysts are predicting that a property assessment reckoning is coming due to dramatically higher home values. Since assessments are automatically tied to property values in most cases, tax hikes seem inevitable. The problem is assessments aren't tied to a homeowner's income, which often leaves homeowners struggling to pay higher tax bills, especially with inflation now taking a $450 bite out of the average family's monthly budget. Property assessments were already trending upward well before the huge value spikes of last year. In Spokane, Washington, the average property tax bill rose from $2,500 in 2019 to $3,000 in 2021, an increase of 20%. You can only imagine the increase when the 2022 bill comes around. The good news is you can challenge your property tax assessment. It doesn't mean you'll win, but you can always try. By some estimates, you have a 20 to 40% chance of being successful in challenging an assessment. Now, how do you go about doing that? Well, almost all jurisdictions have some form of appeal process, usually within 90 days of receiving a new assessment. That's the first thing you need to check. When is the deadline for appealing? Then check to see how your home was assessed. In most cases, it's simply a percentage of the market value. Then make sure that your local tax assessment office has applied any reductions or credits you're entitled to. These are things like homestead exemptions and credits for veterans, the elderly, and the disabled. You may also have to show evidence that you're entitled to a particular benefit. Very often, homeowners don't take advantage of these breaks. Next, make sure that the official description of your property is accurate. Your local assessor's office should have a record card on file describing your property. You can ask to see it. Look for discrepancies, like an extra bedroom or bathroom that you don't really have. The assessor may be able to correct a mistake on the spot so you don't have to make a formal appeal. If everything in the property description checks out, you next want to start comparing your property to other homes in your neck of the woods. But make sure you're doing it apples to apples. That means comparing your property to only those with similar features, roughly the same square footage and lot size, and the same number of bedrooms and bathrooms. If you don't have a basement, don't compare your property to others that do. Even an unfinished basement can add 15% to a home's value. Now, if you see that you're being assessed a higher amount than similar properties in your neighborhood, you may have grounds for an appeal. At that point, you want to start building your case. The appeals process itself will vary, so you'll need to check with your local assessment office to see how it's done and to get any forms you might need. Whatever the process, though, you'll need to gather and organize your evidence. That would be the value of comparable homes you've dug up, photographs, and even blueprints if you have them. Once you file your challenge, you may have to wait several months before you get an answer, and it may not be the answer you want, but that doesn't mean you should give up. Most jurisdictions have an appeals board where you can make your case in person. But if you end up in front of that board, stick to the facts and keep your opinions to yourself. This isn't the time to get political about tax policy. Save that for your elected representatives. You also don't have to do this all on your own. If you're willing to shell out a few $100s, you can hire an independent appraiser to get a more accurate value of your property. But first, make sure your jurisdiction allows outside appraisals and that your appraiser is certified by the Appraisal Institute or the American Society of Appraisers. You may be wondering if all this is worth it. Well, not if you discover fairly early in the process that comparable properties were assessed the same as yours. But if they aren't, and you win your case, you'll be able to enjoy a lower tax bill year after year, and that would definitely be worth it. All right, your calls are next. The number to call is 800-525-7000. By the way, you can call that 24/7. 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and we'll be back with much more just around the corner. Stick around.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live. 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
Hi, I'm Mark Harrington, founder of the pro-life group Created Equal and host of Activist Radio, The Mark Harrington Show. Created Equal is all about saving the lives of unborn children. Each week, I cover the latest pro-life news and feature interviews with unsung heroes from across the nation who are making a difference for the cause of life, liberty, and justice. Join me every Sunday afternoon at 5:30 for The Mark Harrington Show here on American Family Radio and discover how you, too, can help protect the lives of the most innocent among us.
Sound Mind Investing helps Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors who are just getting started, those making investment choices for a company retirement plan or college savings account, and people getting close to their retirement years. SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information is at soundmindinvesting.org. The website also features many articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
When it comes to caring for your family, there's one critically important thing many people fail to do before the Lord calls them home. That one thing is to set your house in order. Organize important documents and account information for your loved ones, create a will, and more. If it sounds intimidating, don't worry. The 5-week Set Your House in Order study makes it easy with step-by-step instructions, and you can request your copy with your gift of $25 or more at moneywise.org/house.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
So thankful you've tuned in today to MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, and for the next hour, we have the privilege of journeying together as we explore God's principles and apply His wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. We've got some lines open. Adam standing by to take your call. We'll get you on the air quickly and see if we can get you some answers to help you move forward, financially speaking, with confidence. The number to call is 800-525-7000, whether it's your spending plan or your investments or saving, maybe how to think about your giving in light of all the other priorities, or dumping debt, whatever it might be. We'd love to hear from you today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Coming up on the broadcast today, we'll explore the topic of contentment a bit. What does contentment mean? Well, I think it's one of God's big ideas as we look at the counsel of Scripture and we think about our role as stewards in this area of financial management. Contentment is right at the tip of the spear. Well, how do we think about contentment? What does God's Word have to say? What does the Apostle Paul, who talked quite a bit about contentment, say about this topic? Well, we'll explore that together. Plus, several emails that came in the last several days from you, our listeners, with some great questions. We'll tackle those. Plus, of course, your calls today. Again, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. I've got my sleeves rolled up. Let's dive in. Sarah in Texas, you are our first caller. Go right ahead.
Hi, good morning. My name is Sarah. I am a truck driver, and I have a question.
Okay.
I have like $8,500 in on debt, two credit cards, and I also have a $10,000 line of credit, which is have like $4,000 that I could use. And I also have like $6,600 on savings. Should I grab those savings and pay part of my credit card, or should I grab the $4,000 available on a line of credit and pay the credit card? I don't know what to do.
Yeah, it's a great question, Sarah, and I can understand why you'd want to get out from under that credit card debt as quickly as you can, and I'd certainly be supportive of that, especially in light of what's going on with interest rates right now, which is spilling over into the form of higher credit card interest rates as well. Let me ask you, if you were to estimate, Sarah, your total expenses over a one-month period of time, what would you guess that would be?
I already did the math. It's like $6,000.
Per month, you're spending $6,000?
Yes.
Okay. So I think the key here is we really can't touch that savings because you have 1 month's expenses in savings, and that's a good start. It really is. Don't get me wrong. But I really want you to get that up to 3 to 6 months' expenses. So we're talking $18,000 to $36,000 that I would have in liquid savings. So I think your kind of next goal is to get that $6,000 to $18,000. And here's why. The key is how do we cover the unexpected, which will come. And so I want you to be able to fall back on that emergency fund and cut the cycle, break the cycle of running to the credit cards. Because in addition to paying off the cards at the same time on kind of a parallel track, if you will, we need to solve the issues that got you to the $8,500 in credit card debt in the first place. And that's going to come from really making sure you have a well thought out spending plan. I'm glad to hear you know the numbers. That means you've done that work. But now we need to do the next step, which is to say, where can I cut? What expenses can I eliminate? The goal is margin, that which is left over after the expenses are paid, both discretionary, the things you don't get a bill for, and the fixed expenses, the things you do get a bill for, because I want you to be able to take that margin and apply it to debt reduction. But first, I really want you to build up that emergency savings. Now, in terms of the two options you presented, I really don't like tapping the savings because I want you to keep the 1 month's expenses right there. I also don't want you to tap that line of credit. I want to get that paid off. I don't want to keep climbing on that. That's going to be a variable interest rate. And even though it's lower, Sarah, than your credit cards likely are, it's still going to be rising. And I don't like replacing debt with debt. I'd rather you leave it right where it is and use, and this is going to be my recommendation on where you go from here, a credit counseling program, what's called debt management. Are you familiar with that term?
Yes, I'm familiar, but I never trust them.
Okay. Well, it's fine. And ultimately, you're going to have to make this decision. We have a trusted resource in that area that I've used for a long, long time. I've been doing this a long time, and they've worked with literally thousands of our listeners. And I'm just delighted at the work that they do. It's called Christian Credit Counselors. They're out of California, but they serve literally thousands of folks all over the country. You'll find them on the web at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Now, for somebody that has more than $4,000 in credit card debt, and you might ask, why $4,000? Well, that's just kind of the number that we've found over the years. If you have less than that, you can pretty much do this on your own through what I call a debt snowball, where you pay all the minimums, you line up the balances smallest to largest, and you take every dollar of margin over what you have left over after your bills are paid, apply it to the balance that's the smallest, not with the highest interest rate, the smallest balance until it's paid off, and then you move right down the line. But when you get over $4,000, it just takes too long. You end up spending too much in interest, and that's where debt management can really be helpful. What will happen is they will look at all of your credit cards. They will contact all of those companies, and through the debt management program, each of those creditors will have a reduced interest rate that they offer through debt management that you can only get in this program. And what happens is they'll tell you what those reduced interest rates are. They'll come up with one fixed monthly payment that you'll make through them, and then they'll send it to each of the creditors. And when you do that, the combination of the level payment plus the reduced interest rates will allow you to pay the debt off 80% faster. So If it were me, what I would do is leave that savings right there. Let's kind of lock that at 1 month's expenses. Let's not try to add to that until the credit card debt is gone. And then let's get into a debt management program so that these balances start coming down. Let's not take on any new debt by the line of credit. And once the credit card debt is paid off, let's do the same process at trying to get that line of credit down to zero. Once both of those are gone, then we can refocus on the emergency fund to try to get that to 3 months' expenses. That's going to be my best advice. Give me your thoughts.
It sounds good. So okay. The name is Christian Credit Counseling.
Christian Credit Counselors. ChristianCreditCounselors.org. You'll find them on the web and tell them that Rob told you to give them a call. They'll take great care of you. All right?
Oh, great. Perfect. Thank you so much for taking
okay.
my call. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Delighted to hear from you today. You know, folks, as we think about paying down credit card debt, right now is the time to do whatever you can to reduce your spending so that you can apply as much as you can to debt reduction. We're seeing interest rates rising fairly quickly on credit cards. They were already high. The challenge is people are using credit cards even more this year. Listen to this. Equifax says Americans received 11.5 million new bank credit cards through February of 2022. That's a 31% increase from the previous year. The total limits for these cards, $55 billion. That's up nearly 60% from the previous year. And the New York Federal Reserve recently released second quarter data on U.S. household debt. It found that credit card balances rose 13% over the past year. That's the largest percentage increase in more than 20 years. Americans are now sitting on $100 billion more in credit card debt than they did a year ago. Where's all this coming from? Well, it's because of what's happening with inflation. The average family spending $500 more per month. If you were already living paycheck to paycheck without any margin, that's where the credit card debt comes from. Let's break that cycle. We can do it together. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Elaine, plus your call, 800-525-7000. Stick around.
A pregnant, homeless 18-year-old girl. A 60-year-old woman worn from the weight of a tough life. A young woman in her 20s crying for the right to murder an unborn baby. It may sound like their lives are worlds apart, but they have more in common than you think. Rebecca Davis shares their stories in the article, Row No More. The ending will have you on your knees in prayer and in praise. Take time to read this article today. You'll be glad you did. Go to afa.net/thestand.
Siri, what's the best way to save for college?
I'm not sure.
Well, what does the Bible say about co-signing for a loan or investing for retirement?
I don't know that either, but you can find those answers on the free MoneyWise app.
Really?
Sure. You can connect with the online community and get answers and encouragement from MoneyWise coaches.
That sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Got it. Learn more at MoneyWise.org.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't have had the procedure I needed without CHM's help sharing the bills. That letter from a member displays Christian Healthcare Ministry's purpose to glorify God and serve His people. CHM is the original non-insurance voluntary health cost-sharing ministry, enabling its members to share the cost of each other's medical bills. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
For over 40 years, American Family Association has stood for righteousness and God's truth in our nation.
American Family Association Executive Vice President Ed Vitagliano.
One important way you can join us in the battle is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. The charitable gift annuity benefits you, and it benefits the culture-transforming work of American Family Association.
Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We have some lines open. You can call right now. Again, 800-525-7000. Let's head back to the phones. We'll head to Mississippi. Elaine, thank you for your patience. Go right ahead.
Thank you. I love your show, and thank you for taking my call. Okay, my son, I'm 76 years old, still sharp mind, and thank the Lord. But my son, who was only 50, died, and he left suddenly from sleep apnea, and he left all of his 401ks and all of his investment-type things to me as his beneficiary.
Yes, ma'am.
I was the only person he ever trusted, his dad and me. So, the problem is he has a teenage daughter. That's why he had it, I know, like that. But he did not leave a will. Okay, yes. This has left a really disastrous situation. She's now 18. How can I give her more? I had to move all the IRAs and 401ks over into my name, of course. They wouldn't let me do any different. I had, you know, it's just really complicated. I'm so sick of it. She and her mom thinks that she should have 100% now. And that's not, you can't, the government won't allow. What can I do? I give her the $16,000 that you can give one person, you know, I mean, a person per year. Do you have any ideas? It's driving me. It's destroyed my relationship with my precious granddaughter, who I practically raised, and it's broken my heart. What can I do?
Oh, yeah, I'm so sorry to hear about your son's passing and the challenges that these finances are creating in the relationship. That's the last thing we want here. What is the concern on the part of your granddaughter? It's that she just doesn't understand why you can't get her more money now, or is there something else?
She thinks it's mine. That's all. It's mine. It's mine. She doesn't understand anything. She doesn't want to. Neither does any of her mother's side of the family. So, and even other people who know a little bit about this, you know, they're very critical of me. I want none of it. Do you understand? I really don't.
I totally do. Yeah, certainly. I think the first thing is really clear communication, Elaine, and you can't control what she receives out of that communication, but you can make sure you're consistently and continually communicating very clearly about your intentions, which is my desire is for you to have this money. Now, I need to do that within the bounds of the law and what the IRS is going to allow me to do, but my intentions are very clear. So that's the first thing, is to make sure there's clear communication. The second thing is then, how do we practically go about that? Now, with the money that's outside of retirement accounts, it's a lot easier. You referenced the annual exclusion, which for this year, 2022, is $16,000. That means that you can give $16,000 without filing a gift tax return based on that annual exclusion. But you can actually give quite a bit more than that, because then there is a lifetime exclusion of $12.06 million that you can give to someone without paying any gift tax. Now, you'll still have to file that gift tax return when you go above the $16,000 that you can do annually, but it's not going to trigger any tax until you get above the lifetime exemption of $12 million, which most people aren't going to get. So for that reason, you can really give, again, outside of the retirement accounts, as much as you want, as long as you're filing appropriately the gift tax return. return to report it to the IRS for any gifts beyond $16,000. Then there's the issue of the retirement accounts, which is not quite as simple because you're going to generate taxable events as you pull the money out. And I think that's where you need to do some planning. Perhaps, Elaine, the other step you could take is to put a trust in place, basically where you would allow the trust to talk about the purpose of the money and how it's to be used and distributed over time to your granddaughter. You could talk to an estate attorney about that. I think obviously you'll want to make sure that you have her named as the beneficiary on those accounts. And there are specific rules as to how you have to pull that money out anyway of those inherited, let's say, IRAs, for instance. With an inherited IRA as a non-spouse, you have a couple of different methods by which you have to pull that money out, either over your life expectancy or over a 10-year period. You'll want to talk to your CPA or tax preparer about that. But as that money comes out in a tax-efficient way and according to the IRS rules, then again, going back to that lifetime exclusion on gifting to anyone, frankly, you have the ability to give her as much as you want right now, as long as you're just reporting it. Does that make sense?
With the government rules and everything, anything makes sense. But the biggest thing I want to ask about the lifetime exclusion, will that affect my Social Security? Will that destroy my tax situation if I, you know, give her more and report this each year?
No. No, it has nothing to do with that. You have the ability to essentially up to the annual exclusion and then beyond that up to the lifetime exclusion, give as much money as you want away. And that the gifting of that money, as long as you report it, is going to have no bearing on your tax situation, either your benefits from Social Security or the tax that you will pay on ordinary income. The taxable events are going to occur for you prior to you giving this money to her. Because as that money comes out of the retirement accounts, that's going to create taxable income. You're going to want to allow for that tax that's due to be held back, because that is something that you're going to have to recognize each year as the money comes out of those qualified accounts. And then the net amount, the amount that you will have available after tax, you can give that away as much as you like, and that's not going to have any bearing on you. So I think the key is for you to have a relationship with a CPA who can help you determine the tax that's due. As the money comes out of the retirement accounts, you can hold that back and then pass 100% of the net proceeds on to her. And again, you just need to report that in a gift tax report to the IRS beyond $16,000. Let's finish up off the air. We'll be right back on MoneyWise. Stay with us.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Washington Watch.
This is a crisis of our own making, and that hard-nosed determination to not admit it for political reasons is just really, truly disheartening.
Yeah, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but on this particular issue, the contrast between the policies of the two administrations could not be sharper. As I've mentioned here on the program many times, I was at the border a little over a year ago. It was like a ghost town.
Weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evenings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Sound Mind Investing offers investing guidance grounded in the stewardship principles found in Scripture. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire knowledge and confidence related to investing and overall money management. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a wise and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Sometimes you just need a little guidance to help point you in the right direction.
In 300 feet, turn right.
If you're feeling lost when it comes to your finances, we're here to help. You can connect with a trained MoneyWise coach absolutely free. A MoneyWise coach can help you build a personal budget, develop a plan to knock out your debt, and more. Visit MoneyWise.org/connect. That's MoneyWise.org/connect.
Rejecting all prior safety protocol, the FDA just approved the Pfizer COVID shot for babies down to 6 months of age. I'm Sam Rohr, host of Stand in the Gap Weekend, heard Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time. Now with overwhelming evidence of COVID shot-induced worldwide death and disability, why would our government encourage this damaging shot for our vulnerable babies and children? Join me and Dr. Gordon Donaldson as we discuss Protect Our Children Now, Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. This is the program where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. We've got some lines open. We'd love to hear from you. Our team is ready to take the call, and we'll try to get you right on the air. 800-525-7000. You know, just before the break, we were talking to Elaine, and we were talking about how to get this money to her granddaughter that was left to her by her son. And this really raises a couple of issues that I think we really need to be thinking about. Number one is we need to have the right instrument in place to pass our resources to the next steward in a way that's thoughtful. We need to have the next steward chosen and prepared. Now, the legal instrument to do that is most commonly a will. The challenge is that Gallup's latest polling finds that slightly less than half of adults, 46%, have a will that describes how they would like their money and estate to be handled after their death. That's a problem. We need to solve that. Folks, we need to have a will. We don't want the probate court deciding where our things go. But then the other side of this is the next steward not only chosen, but prepared? And I think as a part of that preparedness, we need to be communicating. Here's our intentions. This is who I'm leaving it to. Here's why I'm leaving it to you. I'm not leaving it to you. I'm giving it away. And here's why I'm doing that. There's a communication element. There's also a training element as well, because we recognize first we need to pass spiritual capital. That's preeminent. Then we need to pass character capital. Then we pass financial capital when it's ready, because the last thing we'd want to do is pass a significant amount of money to someone who's ill-prepared to handle it, or where it could actually derail their spiritual journey. It could be a hindrance toward them growing in their relationship with Christ. In this case, poor Elaine, it's wreaking havoc in her relationships with her granddaughter and with others, and that's because of a lack of communication prior to this passing that resulted in this inheritance, and not effective planning. Elaine's also concerned just about her granddaughter's readiness for this, and that's a real concern, which is where planning comes in, things like trusts that can allow the money to be distributed only after certain conditions and triggering events are met. So this is really a critical topic that I think we as believers and Americans need to do a better job with. Let me recommend a resource if you want to think more about this topic. I would encourage you to pick up a copy of Ron Blue's book, Splitting Heirs, H-E-I-R-S, Splitting Heirs. I think it's the best book out there on a biblical perspective of wealth transfer, really the decision, the principles you need to be thinking about, not necessarily the mechanics of the legal instruments, but really all the decisions that will lead to which legal instruments you select and how much is given to either charity or ministry or your heirs, because other than the government, those are really the only two places it can go. So I would pick up a copy of that book if you're at all thinking about this. And if you don't have a will, let me just say very clearly, today is the day. Reach out to a godly family attorney and get one in place. All right, I'm going to step off of my soapbox here, and we'll head back to the phones. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Jim's in Tennessee. And, Jim, you've been waiting patiently. Go right ahead, sir.
Thank you, Rob. I am calling about thinking about you said to try to pay off your debts and as much as possible. And my biggest debt that would maybe help being paid off is my mortgage. I've got about $60,000 left on it in maybe 20 years at 3.875% interest rate. Would you recommend maybe paying off the mortgage with my 401k money, which is not a huge amount? It's maybe around 120 to 140.
Yeah, yeah. What did you say your age was, Jim, if you didn't already?
I'm sorry. I'm 69.
Okay.
Working, hoping to start, have not started Social Security. I plan to start that when I turn 70 and hopefully Great. Keep working for a year or two.
Yeah, excellent.
Or more.
Yeah, well, once you reach full retirement age, you probably realize that you can make as much money as you want, and that's going to have no bearing on your Social Security. And by waiting until 70, your check is likely going to be, you know, as much as 24 to 32% more, because it's growing by 8% a year. So that's great. Are you trying to continue to work just as long as you can, Jim?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I like the idea of getting that mortgage paid off. You've got $60,000. You said the runway on that, the remaining term is what, about 20 years?
Yeah, it's pretty long.
Okay. Well, here's what I would do. Rather than pulling out of the 401k, which is going to create a taxable event, excuse me, got choked up there. It's going to create a taxable event, and it's likely down right now with the market, right? So now is not a great time to not only create the tax, but to realize and lock in those losses. So what I do is leave the 401k there, let that rebound and continue to grow, and then pay down the mortgage, accelerate it out of current cash flow. In addition to that, as you start collecting Social Security, if you're still working, I suspect that's going to be all surplus that you have available. And so at that point, I would take 100% of that and start putting it toward the mortgage as well. So unless you have just a real conviction from the Lord to be debt-free absolutely as soon as possible, I would say I'd stick with that mortgage, but just look for every way you can to accelerate the payoff. And let's kind of resist this urge, which is just natural, that as income rises, and you're about to have a significant rise in income as Social Security kicks in, let's not allow lifestyle creep to chew that up. Let's take 100% of that and put it toward the mortgage, and maybe we get that 20-year payback down to 10 or less. Does that make sense?
Okay. It does. It does. So it would, in paying off the or paying on the mortgage extra comes off of the tail end of the mortgage, right?
No, sir. You want to make sure that goes to principal right away. And with an amortized mortgage, you know, you're paying interest on the interest. So every dollar you reduce that principal by is money that you're not going to be paying interest on for the remaining term of the mortgage. So you're going to want to talk to your loan servicer about how they want you to make the payment. If you pay, you know, online, you'll want to check that box that says add to principal. Or if you pay by the mail, you know, you may have a coupon that allows you to do that. Yeah, most of them are equipped to handle that. You're just going to want to make sure it's applied appropriately, which is reducing the principal immediately as they receive that, you know, the funds beyond the scheduled monthly payment.
Yes, sir. Okay. All right. Very good.
Do you make sense?
Yes, sir. Very, very good. I appreciate your good work.
Well, I appreciate that. Did you have a quick follow-up on Social Security?
My wife is 66. She's not started her Social Security either. And I know she'll have different rules from because of her age being a little younger than mine. But I was thinking about, if inflation is 9% and if the IRS is paying another 8% if I wait till 70,
yeah,
is it kind of a wash?
It is right now, but see, that's temporary. I mean, I think we're looking at really a temporary situation here. I don't think we're going back to the Fed's target of 2% anytime soon. We're going to be in a elevated inflation period here for quite a while, but I think we are headed back probably closer to 4%. So if you're still working, you don't need the money, and you're in good health, I'd wait as long as you can. That guaranteed 8% is really nice. Jim, thanks for your call. We'll be right back on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Stick around.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney, host of Secure Freedom Radio. It's your personal, daily intelligence briefing about the challenges we face, how they're likely to affect you, and what we can do about them. You can find Secure Freedom Radio here every weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Tune in to learn from our extraordinary experts what you need to know, and will want to share. Join us for Secure Freedom Radio tonight at 11 Eastern, right here on AFR.
If you enjoy this radio program, you will love all of the many different resources waiting for you at MoneyWise.org. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with a community of thousands of Christians striving to be faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at MoneyWise.org.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Delighted to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions here in our final segment. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head back to the phones. Tennessee, David, thank you for your call, sir. Go right ahead. David, are you with us?
Yes, sir, I am. Sorry.
Very good. No problem whatsoever. You go right ahead.
Hey, so I'm a retired military guy, still work for the government. And my question is about the TSP. I'm 55. I had moved most of my principal into the G fund, you know, when the new administration took place. But I had left my allocation still in the C and the S fund.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, you know, about a 60-40 ratio, respectively. And, you know, I was wondering if that's still, you know, I just got my TSP statement where I had lost, you know, a little over 7,000 over this last quarter. Wondering if I should move it into the G fund for safety, or if you think, you know, that strategy, you know, I guess just curious about what your strategy would be, you know, for those of us that are in the TSP with the current financial instability.
Yeah. Well, it's a great question, David. First of all, as retired military, grateful for your service, sir. You know, this is a challenging question, especially if you're right on top of retirement, because, you know, a typical allocation, you know, where we might be 60-40 stock and bonds, you know, as we head into retirement, we might flip that and go 40 stocks, 60 bonds, or even less towards stocks. You know, with bond prices falling as interest rates rise, on top of the pretty significant pullback we saw in the have seen in the stock market, you know, a lot of folks just really struggling to kind of figure out, what do I do with all of this? In light of that, let me ask you a couple of questions. What do you have in this TSP right now?
It's almost 300,000.
Okay. And when do you plan to retire?
Probably around between 62 and 65. I just got my master's in teaching, and okay. I want to get into the schools. I feel like that's the new battleground for the kingdom. But
Oh, yeah.
I guess
love
it depends
that.
On how that schooling goes.
Yeah.
Whether or not I can make it to the public schools.
Sure. Well, that's great. Delighted to hear that that's what you're thinking about. And so you said you're 55 now, so you've got somewhere between 7 and 10 years?
Yes, sir. And you know, if it goes well in the school, I love kids. I'd probably stay there. We'll just have to see how that, you know.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. And what is your allocation right now, just to break down between G, C, and S?
So nothing to the G, but it's about 60-40 between the C and the S.
Okay, yeah. So you're really 100% in stocks, though?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, just for the benefit of our audience here, when we throw around these terms, TSP, G, C, and S, you're probably like, what is that? So the TSP is the retirement plan. If you're a government employee or in the armed services, and the G, C, and S have to do with the various fund types that they have inside the plan. G is the government securities fund. The C is the common stock fund. And the S is the small cap stock fund. So these are smaller companies that are more growth oriented. So because you're 100% in stocks, and given that you've got still 7 to 10 years, I would say if it were me, I would not make that allocation change right now. You've still got time on your side. And if everything goes according to plan, you're going to be working beyond that. So you probably won't have to touch this. I'd let this recover. But then after it recovers, and I'm thinking, you know, sometime next year, I think the market will recover probably 6 months before the economy. We're probably in a recession now. I think it'll be mild based on the economists I talk to. And even though longer term, we have some challenges ahead of us, and I think we're probably going to be in a sideways market here for a little while, I think it will recover. And, you know, we still, for all intents and purposes, are the strongest and biggest economy in the world. And through innovation and a whole host of other things, again, despite our debt challenges and some policy challenges and energy and a whole host of others, I think the market will be the very best place to build wealth and overcome the effects of inflation. So in light of that, David, I would probably let this recover, and then I would begin to shift more toward a balanced approach. You could either use the L funds in the TSP, which is the lifestyle funds, where it would automatically get more conservative as you get closer to retirement age, or you could just start to do that yourself as you move into the F, the fixed income investment fund. And then probably once you reach retirement, we're probably looking at, you know, wanting 60% in fixed income, 40% in stocks, if you're continuing to work, or if you want to draw an income, you probably are as much as 70% fixed income and 30% stocks. That would probably also be the time to look at rolling it to an IRA and having an advisor manage it for you with your goals in mind. But give me your thoughts on that.
So, that sounds good. So would you recommend moving from, if you think it's going to recover, should I move the principal back from the G fund back into like the L-2030?
Yeah, so you do have some in the G fund now. I thought you said the G fund was at 0% allocation.
It's a 0% allocation, but I had moved all of the principal when Biden took over, you know, into the G fund just to kind of keep it safe.
I see.
I didn't want to lose it all.
Yeah, so you missed a lot of that downside then, correct?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Yeah. So I think this is a great time then. I apologize. I missed that. So I think this is a great time, given that we're down in the market. And yes, we could be down more for sure. But given where we are today, for you to start to move toward your longer term allocation that makes sense in light of your age and proximity to retirement.
So that's moving it back into the L-2030 or into that?
Yes, sir. I would. The L fund is going to be a great way to go there, I think, that gives you an automatic rebalancing as you get closer to retirement.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you for your ministry.
All right, David. God bless you. And again, thank you for your service, sir. Let's head to Kansas. Don, thanks for calling today. Go right ahead.
Yes, this is Don, and I have a question about my 401k. I am 73, and I have a 401k with my work here. I'm still working with Fidelity. And I've lost quite a bit, of course. And I got to thinking, well, maybe at 73, I'll never see much of a rebound. So what I went in and I moved 80% of my value into a fund called Putman Stable Value Funds that hadn't lost anything but don't gain very much. It's bond investments.
Right.
Then I moved the other 20% into Pioneer Strait Incorporated and Fed U.S. Bond Index. And I got some in Fed FDM IDX. I don't know what all. I'm just reading off of my sheet here, off my look. But do you think I'd unwise by pulling? I can always go back and put it back into the stock market, but I thought, well, at 73, if this can, I thought I'd at least wait till after the election, after the first of the year, and see what happens. I might not be live long enough to see this rebound.
Yes, sir. What do you have in this 401k right now, Don? How much?
84,000, basically.
All right. And are you living on any portion of this? Are you pulling an income from this, or is this just out there?
No, I'm not. Okay. I'm not pulling on.
Yeah.
I actually kind of did what your other, I was listening to your prior, I waited till I was 70 to draw my Social Security. My wife did the same thing, and we're both, she works part-time, and I work full-time, so I don't need this money.
Yes, sir. Very good. Well, I think in light of that, essentially in this stable value fund, you're in a cash or cash equivalent. It uses cash alternatives and, you know, wrapped accounts to essentially maintain a stable or a level return with, you know, some sort of yield on it. So, this is about protecting the capital. So you're essentially in a cash equivalent. The question you're asking is, should I go back into the market? I mean, I think, you know, given where we are today and the fact that you missed the downside or a good bit of it. I realize you have some concerns about policy decisions, where we're heading as a nation, even economically, and I would agree with a good bit of that. I think, you know, the very best way for you to grow this portfolio is to have, you know, a balanced account. So I would have probably a 20%, maybe 30% allocation to stocks in an account like this, even at your age of 73, just because I think over time, that's going to be the very best way to, you know, have this return be better than what you would get in a cash type account, which is losing purchasing power every day. And I realize there's risk with that, but especially as we peak out on interest rates, then you could have the lion's share in a bond strategy where at least you're getting, you know, a decent yield with high quality government and corporate bonds. So I think over the balance of this year, if it were me, I'd probably begin to move back in systematically to the market with the right allocation of stocks at probably 20 to 30% and fixed income at 60 to 70%, and do that systematically between now and the end of the year so that as the market recovers, and we could all debate whether that's going to happen and in what time period, you'll have the benefit of taking advantage of that. The other option, Don, would be to connect with an advisor who could really take responsibility for this and make these decisions on your behalf if that was something you wanted them to do, and you could roll it out to an IRA, which gives you ultimate flexibility on the types of investments. I've got just about 30 seconds left. Give me your thoughts.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'll look into that, and I appreciate your advice. Thank you
very
much.
Well, thank you. Well, we appreciate your call today, sir, and may God bless you. Folks, delighted to be able to walk alongside you as we take your calls, and together we think about how we can be faithful stewards of what God has entrusted to us. This is a high calling, not something to take lightly. We don't need to be fearful or concerned, but we do need to be thoughtful and diligent and wise, living with contentment, holding it loosely, recognizing it's not ours. It belongs to the Lord, and it's a tool to accomplish His purposes. So we want to manage it well, be forward thinking. Keep in mind, the longer term your perspective, the better your decision today. So let's think long term, even eternal. Hey, I want to say thank you to my team today. Adam Suddeth handling our phones today. Robert Sutherland providing great research. Mr. Devin Patrick, our engineer and producer. Thank you for being along with us. Have a great weekend. Come back and join us next week on another edition of MoneyWise on American Family Radio. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.